much, Mr. Wiley, for your kind words of welcome. It is good to be with you tonight, and if you can bear with me till I get this menagerie sorted. It's one of the things I detest, is microphones. But anyway, have to keep the gentleman at the back happy. It is lovely to be with you this evening. And we do trust and pray that the Lord will bless us as we have come together. Can I also say a word of thanks to all who pray for us? We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your giving to the work of God, and we thank you so much for all of the support that you've given. And we could not do what we do if it were not for the help and the support of God's people. So we do thank you this evening in the Lord's name. I thank the Lord for the years of service that he has enabled me to minister to the lives of our boys and girls. And nearly every deputation meeting I go to, before I leave, somebody will say to me, "How many years is it now?" So I don't have to answer 20 questions on the way out. This year I will have served under our board for 35 years. And I thank God for those years of service and for how the Lord has enabled and the Lord has helped. And looking back, you know the old saying, I don't know where the years have gone, but they've gone anyway. But the Lord has been good as we sought to minister to the lives of our children. And it's lovely to meet up with young folk, and some maybe not quite so young, who have attended children's meetings, and they remember those meetings, and some have come to tell me that they've been saved and that they've trusted in Christ, and that has been really, really very encouraging, and we do thank God for it. So we're workers together with God, and we've all a part to play, and whatever has been accomplished, you have had a part to play in that as well. And only eternity will reveal all that's been accomplished in the lives of our children. And so we do thank God for that. I just want to leave a verse of scripture with you before we look at the presentation. Mr. Wiley said, take as long as you want. When I start talking about children's work, I could keep you here till tomorrow. But we'll not do that. We'll not do that. Psalm 78, just one verse I want to leave with you. And the psalmist is here talking in this psalm about evangelizing our children and the responsibility that all of us have in sharing with the rising generation the good news of the gospel. And if you take particular note of that verse 6, I have used this passage of scripture in deputation on previous occasions. But a wee while back, I was reading through the Psalms, and verse 7 actually really stood out to me. But just take a note of verse 6 and notice the generations, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Did you note the generations? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. One generation after another, sharing the gospel of Christ with each generation as it comes. But verse 6 is what I want to leave with you. Verse 7. It says in verse 7, talking about the children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And I believe this psalm, as I've already said, lays before us the responsibility that we have to the next generation. Now, you may not be able to do what I do. You may not be able to do what the folks do here amongst the children and the Sunday school and the youth. You may not be able to do any of that, but you can pray for those who are involved in reaching the next generation with the gospel. Prayer ministry is a very vital part of the ministry in reaching people with the gospel of Christ. The psalmist wrote there in verse 4, he says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." And so tonight, as we think of this verse, why should we share the word of God with the generation to come? It's not something that we should do because, oh well, I suppose I better help out with the children's meetings. Ach, I suppose I better say I'd do Sunday school if they really need me. That's not the reason why we reach the rising generation. We reach them out of a heart of love for what the Lord has done for us. And when we think of what Christ has done for us, surely tonight the love of God constraineth us to share the gospel with those who are growing up around us. And so we share the word of God with the generation to come, because as the verse says, that they might set their hope in God. That's preparing them for the future. Now I know there's many out in the world tonight, and they think, well, when the end comes, they're put in the ground and that's it, and they just die like an animal, and there's no hereafter, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no nothing. And unfortunately, they're going to get a very rude awakening one day. But we seek to prepare the children that they might set their hope in God. We are born again, we love the Lord, we're saved, and we have a hope that will one day see us in heaven with the one that we love and the one that we serve. And we know that the Lord will return again and he'll take us to be with himself. But you know, there's so many out there tonight and they know nothing of the things of God. And as God enables us and helps us, we want to seek to reach them with the gospel. I was in a school not so long back doing a Bible club, and I had 16 P1 to P3 children. And out of that 16 children, I don't think there was any of them went to Sunday school. Some of them went to a children's meeting. Some went to girls' brigade. Some went to boys' brigade. But none of them went to Sunday school. Have you got a Bible? No, we don't have a Bible. And I find that so difficult to understand. But it is so true. There's many, many children and they've never been to Sunday school. Many have never been to a children's meeting. And so there is a great need amongst the children that are rising up around us. So many today out in the world, they're setting their hope in many things. They're setting their hope in their good jobs, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're setting their hope in their bank balance, and, well, there's nothing wrong with that. They're setting their hope in politicians and so many things of the world they set their hope in. Their governments and their own abilities. But you know, tonight we need to realize that we share the blessing of the Word of God with this next generation, that they might set their hope in God, that they will come and put their faith and trust in Christ, that they will come to know him as their Savior, and that they will seek to grow up to be young men and young women of God. And that's the challenge that faces us, and it is a tremendous challenge that faces us amongst our boys and girls. We not only share the Word of God with them that they might set their hope in God, but that they might also remember the works of God. How easy it is to forget what God has done for us. You think of the children of Israel wandering through the wilderness and on their way to the promised land, and they soon forgot what God did for them, didn't they? Oh, if only we were back in Egypt, I could love a cucumber just now. And garlics, oh, garlics. Wouldn't it just be lovely to have a garlic? And they moaned and they groaned and they hankered back after the things in Egypt that they had left, and they so quickly forgot what God had done for them. How God had wrought that mighty deliverance and brought them out of Egypt. and had taken them through the Red Sea and devastated the Pharaoh in the waters of the Red Sea. And so quickly they forgot. And you know, it's so easy for all of us. You know, we have a hard day and maybe things are just not going the way they should, and we soon get a bit grumpy and a bit down in the mouth, and we forget. We forget what the Lord has done for us. And it's so important that we remind our children when we bring them together of all that God has done for them. We remind them of God's wonderful works in creation. There's so much out there that in school and other places that say to them, oh, don't believe the Bible. That's not right. There's so much of that. And we need to remind them of the works of God in creation. We need to remind them of the work of God in redemption and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us and did for them when he died on the cross, that he died for them. He died for them as an individual, and that they need to be reminded constantly of all that God has done, and that will be a means of bringing them to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, we share the things of God with this rising generation, that they will be encouraged to keep his commandments, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The psalmist is not talking about a legalistic form of obedience, but he is talking about a loving obedience to the Lord that comes from a heart that rejoices in the knowledge of sins forgiven and rejoices in all that God has done for them. Not just keeping the Ten Commandments, but keeping the Word of God and what God has said to us. And that's a great responsibility we have for the children as we see them saved and see them trusting in Christ as their Saviour, that we will encourage them in their faith and that they will learn the importance of reading God's Word and studying God's Word and living in obedience to the Word of God as they grow up. Yes, we have a responsibility to them, that we might see them put their hope in God, set their hope in God, that they might not forget the works of God, but that they will learn to keep his commandments. Verse 8 goes on to say, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. A generation that prepared not their hearts. And so we want to see the children coming to faith in Christ. We're not going to look at it tonight, but if you read on down, you can do it tonight when you go home. You read on down there, and we read some very sad information about Ephraim. How Ephraim failed the Lord. Failed his fellow Israelites. He failed in warfare. He turned back in the day of battle because something went wrong with his walk and he refused to walk in the ways of God and he forgot all that God had done. You can read it for yourself. But help us, may God help us to be those who walk in all the ways of God, and even by our lives and by our example, that boys and girls will see something of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and in my life, and that they can see the joy of the Lord in each one of us, and that we'll have the joy and privilege of seeing children coming to put their faith and trust in Christ, and that they will be taught to remember all the things that God has done for them, and that they will seek to live in obedience to the Word of God and to the will of God. We're just going to look at this presentation, and it'll give you a little information in what we're up to. As I've said already tonight, I've been working under our board for 35 years, and we thank God for all of his help during the years. Travelled many, many miles, spoken to hundreds of children, have seen children saved, and we thank God for that, and have seen children growing in the Lord. And some of them now have grown up and have got their own wee families, and it really makes me feel old when you see them coming into church and coming into meetings and their own weans coming in behind them, and you've had the privilege of seeing their parents come to the Lord, and that is just something really very wonderful. And so we thank God for the opportunities that he has given. When I first started out under our mission board, I would have been working in orange halls and mission halls and people's gardens and people's garages and wherever there was availability to bring boys and girls together. But things have changed over the last number of years, and it's been tremendous to see the door that the Lord has opened to us in the schools. And we rejoice in that. Going into the schools to hold Bible clubs. Some schools I would go in first thing in the morning, and maybe for half an hour, 45 minutes, have all the children together for a meeting. Some schools I go in at lunchtime and have the children. There's one school in particular that I go to, and I go during parent-teacher week. And I would have the children from a 1:15 to 2:00 while the parents, teachers are getting ready for the parents to come. So it is a great opportunity. Other schools, I go after school. I would have P1 to P3, 2:00 to 3, and then I would have P4 to P7, 3:00 till 3:45. And when you have had P1 to 3 for an hour, you feel like you want to lie down in a darkened room and take some diazepam or something, because they're all go, and it's all action choruses, and you've just got to keep going and keep going and keep going, because they get distracted very quickly, and just keep the whole thing running to keep them with you. So we thank God for these opportunities. As you know, and we look back, everything now is before COVID or since COVID. And I'm back into schools from September last year for the first time since COVID. And we're so thankful to the Lord for that. And as you know, schools closed. That was a very difficult period of time. Just devastating. One day you're in a school and the next day you're not going back, and that's it. And so we rejoice that schools have opened again for assembly and for Bible clubs. And I just want to mention again the FPC Kids Ministry that we had. This was a door that was opened to us during lockdown. It was a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to get the gospel out to the boys and girls. And it was certainly used of the Lord. And there's still folks using FPC Kids. It's there on YouTube. And there was a gentleman came to our church, not saved, and his partner came, and his wee girl loved to sing, and sometimes she would say to her daddy in home from work, "Daddy, deep and wide, deep and wide." And so I said to him, I said, "You know, Tommy," I said, "FPC Kids is still on YouTube, and so every opportunity they get, they have the children tuned in, and they're not saved, but we pray for them that through even this means, boys and girls and parents will come to the Lord." I was in one of our churches one night, and a wee lady said to me, she came whispering to me, I don't know whether she was worried about other people hearing her or not, but she said, "You know, I love the FPC Kids." And I said, "Well, terrific." She said, "You know, on a Saturday, I used to go down the street to my neighbours, and I would say to them, 'Now listen, FPC Kids is on in the morning. Make sure you listen in.'" And she used that as a way of reaching her neighbours with the gospel, because a lot of her neighbours weren't saved. And she said, "You know, they really enjoyed watching it." And so, again, only eternity will reveal all that's been accomplished in the lives of the children. Bible Corner went out, and again, this was greatly used of God. Originally went out on a Friday night, and then when churches were closed, it went out on a Sunday morning when children would have been in Sunday school. And this was greatly used of the Lord. And we rejoice in all that God did through the FP Kids Ministry. It took me very much out of my comfort zone. It really did. I was very happy in my own wee corner of the world, doing my own thing. But this standing in front of a microphone and standing in front of a camera, and there's nobody out there. You know, you have to speak like as if there's a big crowd out there. So it very much, as I say, took me out of my comfort zone. But it was used of the Lord, and we thank God for that. We also recorded short videos that teachers could use in the classroom. And we contacted every school in Northern Ireland. Didn't matter who they were or what they were, every school was contacted. And we rejoiced that a number of schools did take this up. And there are some schools would on occasions still use assembly in the classroom. And again, a great means of reaching the boys and girls with the gospel of Christ. Am I not doing that? Oh, no. Oh, there we go. Holiday Bible clubs we also did. The first year of lockdown, we did 2 holiday Bible clubs in the summer. We did 1 at Christmas. We did 1 at Easter the following year. And we did 1 in the summer of that year. And these were greatly used of the Lord. Very exhausting. We did 5 days of holiday Bible club in 1 day. Just recording the stories, the missionary story, the singing, the crafts, the quizzes, the whole works. And when we had finished, you hardly knew which direction you were going. But again, these were used of the Lord. We had texts from all over the world, literally. One lady texted from America, and she said, "It's the middle of the night here," and she said, "I'm up watching with my little boy." And other people on the mainland listened in, not only to Bible Corner, but listened in to the holiday Bible clubs. I know of one family in England, and they don't have a church to go to, an evangelical church. And they get the laptop out on a Sunday morning, set it on the kitchen table, and they listen to one of the churches here in Northern Ireland. And this Bible Corner and the holiday Bible clubs were a great source of encouragement for them, for their children who don't have a Sunday school to go to. But it was greatly used of the Lord, and we thank God for that. The week before the holiday Bible club, a number of churches signed up to it. And so the week before, we went out with all the materials that they needed, and then they were ready, patiently waiting for Monday morning. And this particular house, the granny of these children, she said, "You know, it's a wonder my kitchen table and chairs are still standing, because, I mean, everything was pre-recorded. But when it came to the quiz, these wee ones, they were up jumping for whoever was doing the quiz for the boys and whoever was doing for the girls, and they were just really, really getting into it." But as I've said, we thank God for the opportunities that He's given us, those crafts and worksheets, and all of this was greatly used of God, and we thank God for it and for the door that was opened during lockdown. As I said, schools, back into the schools, and some of these schools I've been back into for the first time. Did I miss one there? I did. Back into the schools in September, the first time since COVID. This wee school here, the top one, Cartamlet School, and you're maybe saying, "Well, where's Cartamlet?" Well, if you know where our Tullyvallen church is, it's not very far from Tullyvallen, just down the road. And I go into Cartamlet once a month for assembly, and once a year I go in for Bible club, P1 to 3 and P4 to 7. Wee boy came to me on the Tuesday and he says, "I've something to tell you." And you know, children can tell you almost anything. And I thought maybe he was going to say, you know, his hamster had died or something. He says, "You know, my wee sister got saved yesterday when she went home." And I thought, "Isn't that marvellous?" The wee girl wouldn't say anything to me. But I was talking to her mum at the end of the week, and her mum said that the church had Holiday Bible Club in August, and since the Holiday Bible Club, she had been talking about getting saved. And the mother was rejoicing that during that week of meetings, she had come to trust the Lord. King's Mills, the wee school here. And when I look at that picture of King's Mill, I find it a very sad picture, because the wee school is closing. And I've been in and out of the wee school for years and years. And just one of the things that happens, not enough children going to it. And parents have been fighting to keep it open. But I think the inevitable is going to happen in a few weeks' time, and the wee school will be closed. And it's very, very sad, because I've had great opportunities in it to present the gospel. Why is this jumping? I need to go back one. There we go. Glory and Donnacloney I was in as well in January. And lovely Christian principals in these schools. Most of the schools that I would work with, principals would be believers, and that's so encouraging. They send out the invitation, let the parents know I'm coming for a week of Bible club. Consent is sent back to them, and they know who's coming, and I just go and do my thing, and it's just wonderful. Just wonderful. Top picture is Blairy, and this is Blairy. When I went the first day, P1 to 3, they kept coming and coming and coming, and I thought, when is this going to stop? And we had 60 P1 to P3 children, and they went home, and 40 P4 to 7 children came in. We had 100 children that week, and the principal said to me, she said, you have had over half of the school in your Bible club. And that was just so encouraging. And she said to me on the way out, just put it in your diary for the same time next year. So in the will of God, we will be back amongst the children. The top picture is Donnacloney. And I've been in and out of Donnacloney for a number of years as well. And when I went before COVID, we had the meetings at lunchtime. And so the principal said to me, are you happy enough to come again at lunchtime? I said, oh yes, that's fine. She said, maybe more will come. And I said, well, we can always pray for cold weather. And it was one of those cold weeks in January, and the boys weren't allowed to play on the AstroTurf because it was frozen. So we had 60 youngsters each lunchtime. And again, what an encouragement to see these children coming. Holiday Bible clubs throughout the summer. It was great to get back to having Holiday Bible Club and the children just there in front of you. Oh, it was just special. It really was. And we thank God for the number of Holiday Bible Clubs that we were able to run through the summer. Already the diary is filling up for this year again for Holiday Bible Clubs. And these were four of the Holiday Bible Clubs that I did last year. Top picture is Tully Vallon. This one was Randallstown. We had 100 plus every night in Randallstown. This is Larne, and the top picture is Ballymena in the Ballykeel housing estate. And all of these, it was just a joy and a privilege to teach the children in Randallstown. We had the joy and privilege of seeing some children trust the Lord, and that is always very, very encouraging, and we thank God for that. Outdoor meetings are a tremendous means of outreach in the summer. You'll get children that won't come to the church. That's just the way it is. And so we seek to go out into the community, and it's amazing the opportunities that we get. The top picture is Derrybeg Housing Estate in Newry. And well, they wouldn't be going through the doors that we go through, let's say that much. But children growing up in darkness. But it's been a privilege over the years to present the Word of God to them. And we thank God for that opportunity and for that open door that there is for us. It's a wild, hard job keeping them sitting with you sometimes, Because, of course, they're not used to our form of meetings. And they'll come, and 2 years ago, they said, some of them said, I need to go to the, because we're just behind the shop. I need to go to the shop for an ice pop. Yes, I think I need to come too. So I thought, this is all I need. So I said, listen, if you sit to the end of the meeting and you behave yourself, I will give you 20p for an ice pop. I thought, well, they're going to get sweets anyway. So, of course, it did the trick. And I was driving home that night and I thought, if 50 of them come tomorrow night, I'll be broke by the end of the week. But it is a way of keeping them sitting with you. And such darkness. But we thank God for the opportunity. This is Hillhead Housing Estate in Banbridge. And I've been in and out of Hillhead for quite a number of years. And of course, with COVID and that, we had missed out a couple of years. And when I was visiting for this this outdoor meeting, I went around the corner where some houses were. And there was ladies sitting. It was a beautiful, gorgeous day. And this woman stood up and she went, "And where have you been all this time?" And I looked and I thought, I know who you are now. And she used to sit in the meetings. Her mum used to come. And she used to sit in the meetings with her mum and her two wee ones. And now her wee ones are big ones. And she has grandchildren. "Oh," I said, we're coming tonight." "Good," she said. And the ladies that were sitting with her, they didn't have an opportunity to say anything. She said, "We'll be there, won't we, girls?" So they didn't have a chance to say, "No, we won't." But great opportunity. And again, a family and ladies that wouldn't be going through the same doors as us. But we thank God that they were there. This is Eden Derry Housing Estate in Banbridge as well. I'd like you to pray for the gentleman in the black there. And when we go offline, I'll tell you his story. But we were in Eden Derry 2 years ago for the first time. And after we finished the meetings, the kid said to me, "Is that you finished?" I said, "Yes, for this year." "You mean you're not coming back again?" I said, "No, not this year." "Oh," they said, "could we not get a tent and put it up and we could wear our coats and bring our blankets and you could wear your coat and you could come and teach us in the tent?" And I said to them, "Do you think your mothers would love me if you all went home with pneumonia or something?" But we're back again last year, and the same story. "Are you not coming back again?" So we did two nights for them before they went back to school. Some of these children now come to our midweek meeting, and we're thankful to God for that. And then to include some other pictures, and I didn't do it, but last week I was in with our Mullet Last Church doing outdoor meetings, and we had three meetings every afternoon. We started at 4 o'clock. And ran through to 7 in three different locations. And in the last location, on the Thursday night, there was a young couple came with two small children. And after the meeting, I got talking to this young girl, and she said to me, "You know," she said, "I used to sit in these wee meetings." And she said, "I listened to you for a long time as I was growing up." And I said, "Let's not go down that road. You make me feel my age." But anyway, she had come to the meetings along with her brother for many, many years while she was growing up into her teens. And she said, "I wanted to come back and tell you that I'm now saved." And I thought, isn't that wonderful? I thought, wow. You know, I thought, that is just such a blessing. And her husband is saved. And they're bringing up two weans. Just such an encouragement. Folks were also telling me about 10 years ago, we were having outdoor meetings with Mullet Lass, and there was a young lad I counselled. And I remember it well. There's a lot of things I don't remember, but I remember sitting on the edge of the footpath counselling him. And the folks were telling me that he's now in grammar school and he's going on well with the Lord. And I thought, isn't that marvellous? And we cannot tell you of dozens and dozens, but we're so thankful to God for the ones and the twos along the way. And there's probably some that we will never hear of who've come to the Lord that will meet in glory someday. And that will be so encouragement. And as you have prayed for us, you've had a part to play in that. As you've prayed that God would bless the work amongst our weans. Camp ministry, and it was so good last summer to get back with the boys and girls in camp. During lockdown, it was on Zoom, and it's just not the same. Mind you, there's no sleepless nights when it's on Zoom, but anyway. Last year, I was with Sandown Camp. I've taught at Sandown for a lot of years, and in the will of the Lord, we'll be there again at the end of July. And these are happy campers. And we rejoice in the privilege of bringing them together and teaching to them the Word of God. And one of the wonderful things about Sandown is some of those who grew up in the camp and were saved, they're now coming back as leaders and helpers. And that's just such an encouragement to see their interest in the things of God. They did various activities, potholing, mountain climbing, waterboarding or whatever they call it, and rock climbing and all sorts of things. They said to me, they went potholing in Tullymore Forest Park, and they said to me, "Are you not coming potholing?" I said, "No." I said, "Because some of you winds have pushed me down in the water and I'd never get up again." But they enjoyed themselves, and what an encouragement to see these young folk. These are campers of the future. Some of the leaders from Sandown Road now have their own wee families and bring the children along. And it's a big responsibility for those that are leaders and counsellors and what have you. But as I say, these are some of the leaders and campers of the future. Our United Children's Camp under our mission board has been going now for 9 years. And this year will be our 9th year. And this year we're having 2 camps. Every year there was children on a waiting list, and children were disappointed. So this year they're having 2 camps, one at the end of July and another one the first week in August. And there's 49 children for each camp. So it'll be 2 very, very busy weeks with the boys and girls. The Reverend Ryan McKee is camp director. And it's a big responsibility, and he puts it all together. And we just, I was going to say do as we're told, but we go and do our part, and it's just amazing to see God at work in young lives. These were my girls from last summer, a wonderful bunch of young girls, all saved, and what an encouragement that was. I've had contact with them since, sending me wee notes and things like that, so it's just such a blessing. We went crazy golfing, and you know, everybody's saying, "There's your card and keep your scores and we'll see who does best." And these girls said to me, "We don't want all that score business. We just want to have fun." And I said, "Well, that's what we'll do. We'll have fun." And so we did. This was the last morning. And during the last morning, we didn't have enough room inside for parents and children. But this was the last morning, and all the chairs, as many as we could find, were all put outside, and thanked the Lord for a beautiful sunny morning. And the parents came, and we had our meeting, a few choruses, and our Bible lesson. And it's just a wonderful way to finish off the week. Some prayer requests. We asked you to pray for the Bible lessons that were taught last year. Remember the children that were taught last year in camps and holiday Bibles and outdoor meetings. It's not too early to start praying for the summer outreach this year. The outdoor meetings, the camp ministry, the holiday Bible clubs. And we asked you to take this work upon your hearts and pray for it. You may not know every place where we are, but the Lord knows. And you can pray that God will bless the efforts that are being put forth in the Holy Bible clubs, in the outdoor meetings, and in the camps. So please, please do pray that God will work and move. The camp ministry has been such a blessing, and to see children going home really, really encouraged. Pray too that when they come to camp, that, you know, the first night is always a difficult night. I want my mommy. I can't sleep without my mommy. They never want their daddies. But sometimes it can be a wee bit difficult. And so please pray that children will settle in and that they'll get to sleep. And, oh, we're doing an all-nighter. And I think to myself, none of I can help it. But anyway, do please pray. Pray for the ministry in the schools, the Bible clubs and the assemblies. And I've said already, we rejoice that doors have opened again to us and for the ministry that God has given. Pray that as we look forward to next year, that the Lord will open new schools to us and that we'll be able to reach many more boys and girls with the gospel. Pray for the weekly children's meetings that I'd be involved in, and also the deputation meetings. And pray for the preparation that we're making for the summer, that as we prepare our lessons and all of the things that need to be prepared, that God will help us and encourage us. And pray that the Lord will give us freshness as the weeks come along. You know, the first week you're all gung-ho and full of enthusiasm. And maybe you get to the fifth or the sixth week of summer outreach and you're beginning to wilt a little. Do pray that the Lord will give us freshness as the weeks come by, and that we'll have the great opportunity of seeing boys and girls come to Christ. Those were the meetings that I had last week, and pray that God will bless the seed that has been sown in young lives, and that even yet we will see boys and girls coming to put their faith and their trust in Christ. We thank you so much for your prayer support, for your help in the work of God. I do appreciate you to pray and ask you that you will continue to pray on. If you have any questions, have a wee word with us at the end. Not say I have all the answers, but we'll seek to help you if we can. Thank you very much, Mr. Wiley.